Welcome to Destiny Harvest Church's weekly podcast. We're a church located in Columbia, Maryland, right between D.C. and Baltimore. We're so glad that you decided to listen to our podcast. If you're looking for a message of hope, purpose, and destiny, then you've tuned into the right place. If you have any testimonies of what God has done in your life as a result of listening to this podcast, please email us at stories@mydestinyharvest.com. We love to hear how God is impacting people's lives through what He's doing at our church. Now, prepare your heart and mind to hear from God as we jump into this week's message.
Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. Do you guys have it? If you don't have a Bible with you, that's okay. This is church made easy. It's going to pop up on the screen so we can all read it together. And let's read. Here we go. Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered, saying, "Teacher, we want to see a sign from you." But he answered and said to them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet." Isn't Jesus a little cranky sometimes? He said, "Hey, Jesus, we'd love a sign." He's like, "You evil and adulterous generation." Whoa, okay, sorry. Just ask for a sign. Verse 40 says this, "For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here." There's Bible talk, so you missed it. I'll just pull this out. I didn't do this first service. So it says, the men of Nineveh are going to condemn this generation. This is what Jesus said. If Nineveh can get saved, ain't none of y'all got an excuse. There is no such thing as being too far away from God, because Nineveh was about as far away as you can ever get. And if they could come to Christ, everybody can. Let's pray. Father God, we're grateful. God, we sing, "Glory, glory is the Lord, God Almighty." God, return to our hearts an awe that you're not just our homeboy. You're not the big man upstairs. You're the creator of the universe. But yet you long to be in relationship with us. God, speak to us in this moment. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen and amen. You can grab your seat. Hallelujah. So we are concluding a mini-series. This is probably the shortest series that I've ever preached in my life. If you feel like you missed out, that's okay. It's only been 1 week. But this was really just a brain dump from my 6 weeks of just being away and just spending time with God and how He desires for us to move into this next season as a church. Last week, we started off this series called Calculated. And the entire premise, the thesis statement, the mindset behind this series is that we serve an extremely intentional God, and that we should be extremely intentional about our lives. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, verse 26, "From one man, he, being Adam, made all the nations." What does that mean? God says everybody came from Adam. Adam was the first. And all these cultures, races, countries, and all that, I mean, we're all the same. We came from Adam. "That they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history in the boundaries of their lands." This means that God picked the exact city and the exact year that you would be born in. I don't care what your parents told you. You were not a surprise to God. You were not a, "Oh, man, I don't know what happened." No, God planned you. He was intentional. He picked out the year. Anybody grateful that you were not born in the year when gladiators were a thing and they used to just throw people in cages with lions and all that other good stuff? I'm glad that that wasn't the year that was picked for me. God help the people that was their year. But he said, "No, I picked the exact year." Man, my dad went to seminary in Boston, and after seminary, he graduated and got his first ministry job, and he says, "I was on my way to start a church in Florida, and I stopped off in Maryland, and I never left." And I'm like, "Dad, Maryland, really? You mean I could have been born in Miami and, like, living it up right now, and you stopped in Maryland? Really?" But he said, no, I picked your exact city, your exact year. Why? 27 says this, God did this so that you would seek him. God knew if Stephen was born in Miami, he probably wouldn't be a Christian. So let's just put him in Maryland so he can make it in heaven. Perhaps reach out for him and find him. I love this part. Though he is not far from any one of us. God says he planned your year, he planned your city so that you had the best chance of encountering him and fulfilling your destiny, even though it's not hard to find him. God says, I am constantly around you. All you have to do is turn to me. The story that we're using to set this up is the story of Jonah. You may or may not have heard of Jonah. Jonah is what a lot of theologians call the reluctant prophet. He was a prophet, which is simply someone who God has given supernatural ability to hear from and to lead and to direct nations. And God came to Jonah and he said, hey, there's this wretched city named Nineveh. He said, they are so horrible that they've caught my attention. You got to be pretty jacked up to catch God's attention. Because there's a whole lot of jacked up cities out there. And God said, no, this one is so bad, so ferocious and heartless that they've caught my attention. I need you to go to them and warn them that if they don't turn back to me, judgment is coming. That right there just shows us a picture of God. Listen to me. Satan has two plans for your life. Plan number one is to keep you away from God. And if that doesn't work, plan number two is to distort your view of God. So one of the things that he's put out there is that God is some type of killjoy who doesn't want you to enjoy your life, and he's just waiting for you to mess up so that he can punish you. Here is a perfect example of God having an opportunity to punish a people that have messed up, and instead of punishing them, he sends grace. He sends somebody to say, hey, my passion is that you would be with me. Go warn them to connect with me. But Jonah said, no, I don't want to do that. Because you see, the people are crazy. And they actually deserve what they have coming to them. So I'd much prefer to mind my own business. You ever had God tell you something, you act like you didn't hear him? You know what I mean? Don't play. We've all done it. You know, you just sense in your heart, I should go back and apologize to that person I just yelled at. You know it's not Satan because he don't want you to apologize. You know it's not you because you're too ignorant to apologize. So it had to be the voice of God. You just act like you didn't hear it. If I just ignore this long enough, am I the only one? So Jonah said, maybe if I run far away enough, God will stop speaking to me and I won't have to do anything. And he gets on a boat and goes to Tarshish. Now, Nineveh is in present-day Syria. Tarshish is in present-day Spain. 2,500 miles away. Jonah literally said this. He said, let me get away from God's presence. Maybe you're in a place today where you feel like you've gone so far that God doesn't even see you anymore. I love what the psalmist David said. He said, God, where can I go from your presence? Where can I hide that you're not there? If I go up to the heavens, God, you're there. I watch this. He said, if I make my bed in the pit of hell, God's your love, your grace, your mercy is still there. So Jonah thought he was getting away from God. God says, fine, I'll just reroute you. So he sends a storm so strong that it nearly ripped the boat that he was in apart. The people on the boat, they actually liked Jonah because Jonah was a little bit of a party animal. He's like, hey, this guy's pretty cool. We don't want to be murderers and throw him overboard. So they tried to hold on to Jonah, even though the judgment of God was wrecking the ship that they were in. This is a little addendum I didn't have time to get to last week, so I'll just throw this into it. Some of you are experiencing storms in your life, not because you're running from God, but because you have somebody in your boat that is running from God. And God said, either you throw them overboard or you will get what they have coming. Man, no. I'm loyal. You don't even know what that means. No, I'm not going to turn my, listen to me. So often when we try to shield people from life, what we're actually doing is keeping them from the place where they'll turn to God. I know he's 40 and still in my basement, but he's my baby. I can't throw him. It's not until you throw him out
that he's going to come to a place where he realizes God is the one that I need. And it's amazing. They weren't throwing him out to the sea. They thought they were killing Jonah. They didn't know that they were throwing him into the grace of God. Just because you throw somebody out of your boat doesn't mean that you're abandoning them. Actually, it means that you're releasing them into God's grace. I love it. The Bible says that God prepared a whale, and the whale ate Jonah. And watch this. Jonah sat in that whale's belly for 2 days before he repented. You know, I've discovered rock bottom is different for different people. That's just mean. A pastor shouldn't say this, but that's all right. I'm wearing a dress, so it's all good. Y'all know y'all were thinking that. I look at some people's life, and I'm just like, if your life was my life, I'd have turned to Jesus by now. I'd have turned. Like, that's jacked up. And he's like, no, just I'm not yet. It took Jonah 3 days before God broke him. And he's like, all right, I can't eat tuna another day. Like, I'll turn back to you. What's the point? The point is, it doesn't matter what detour you've taken in life. God planned for your detour, and he still has a great purpose for you. I was talking to somebody earlier. I said, Pastor, that message was for me, and I took a 3-year detour. I was like, okay, let's not worry about the details. The fact of the matter is, God still has a great plan for your life. There is no mistake. There is no sidetrack. There is no, I don't want to listen, and I'm going my own way, that God did not calculate with before he even called you. And he still has a great plan for your life. I heard this story that's insensitive but hilarious, which are all the best stories. There was this little girl. She was in school, probably about fourth or fifth grade, and her teacher gave her an assignment to write a paper on a historical figure. So she decided she was going to write about Jonah. She had just heard about Jonah. She said, I'm going to write about Jonah. So she writes this report, and she turns it in, and when she gets it back, she gets an F. And written across the top of the paper in red letters is that I asked for a historical figure. Jonah is not real. So she got the paper back in class, and she was so upset she couldn't wait till the end, so she just yells in the class, Jonah is real. And the teacher said, no, you don't understand. There is no way a whale swallowed a human being and that human being lived in the belly for 3 days. It is scientifically impossible. There are no whales on the planet that have a mouth big enough to swallow a human and sustain human life for 3 days. It did not happen. She said, you're wrong. It did happen. And she said, how do you know it happened? The girl said, because the Bible said it happened. So the teacher said, well, I'm sorry, your Bible is wrong. This got the little girl really upset, and she's like, how dare you? Fine, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask Jonah if he was in the belly of a whale for 3 days. So the teacher looks back at the little girl, and she says, well, what if Jonah's not in heaven? The little girl said, then you ask him. It has nothing to do with today's message. I just thought that was hilarious. Don't mess with the Bible. So here's Jonah, right? He goes on his little detour. God sends a storm, swallows him, barfs him up on the sea, and said, okay, you're done. Now go do what I told you to do. Fast forward over 800 years. Jonah's dead. Nineveh's gone. I mean, the Roman Empire is raised, and Jesus is walking the earth. And these religious people, these rabbis and these Pharisees and these scribes, they come up to Jesus and they say, Jesus, give us a sign that you're real. Prove to me that you are who you say you are. Now, before you get all judgmental, I can see in your eyes, you're already judging them. Let's just be honest for a second. Wouldn't it be great if God gave us signs? Let's take it a step further. Have you ever asked God for a sign? Come on now, don't lie. Tell the truth. You ever ask God, like, okay, I'm going into this interview, and God, I'm really nervous. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this job. So God, if I'm going to get this job, please, let the interviewer have a blue shirt on, and that's going to be a sign that I have nothing to worry about. It's mine. And then you go in there, and it's a white shirt. You're like, God, really? Or God, oh, man, I don't know. I want to ask her out, but I don't know if she's going to say yes. I don't know if this is bae. I don't know what God says. God, I'm going to text her. And God, if she texts me back in 3 minutes, that's a sign from you that this is bae. This is you, God. So you send out the text, and you're waiting, and you're like, God, I said 3 minutes. Okay, don't worry. 5 minutes. 10? Anything? But wouldn't it be easier if God just gave us a sign? You know, be faithful 3 more days and then your breakthrough's coming. Pray 7 more times and then the answer will show up. Man, signs are helpful. Signs tell you where you are. Remember, I was in college, I didn't have great character, so God decided to give me something to build my character in the form of a horrible vehicle. So between class and work, about 40% of my time in college was spent on the side of the road, waiting for a tow truck to pick me up. And I remember every time I'd call the tow truck, they would ask this question, where are you? And I was like, I don't know, I'm 95. Okay, look around for a sign. What mile marker do you find? Signs tell us where we are. Signs tell us where we're going. If you're spiritual, you use iPhone and not Android. And so, if not, that's all right. You can get saved at the end of the service. But you know, iPhones, if you use the right app, you got maps and you punch in where you're going. And the first, oh, you're heathens, you use Waze, whatever, it doesn't matter. They ask you where you're going, and as soon as you punch in where you're going, what happens? It drops a pin where you are. Because you can't figure out where you're going until you know where you are. Signs tell us where we are. Signs tell us where to go. Signs tell us how much longer until we get there. I don't know if you've ever seen this, but there's a random sign over on Highway 70 when you're heading to Frederick. This sign says 1,440 miles until Denver. Why are you telling me where Denver is? Look, next time you drive on 70, you'll see it. Why? I don't know. But just in case you want to know how far from Denver you are, you're 1,440 miles from Denver. It tells you how much further you have to go. It's not just street signs, but there's signs everywhere. Remember when we had our first child? By the way, we are celebrating our 4th wedding anniversary this Thursday, which is all the way good. Because Zoe is not a Christian and she's a little bit selfish, this Thursday is also her first birthday. Don't clap for that. She's selfish. Oh, by the way, we're going to lie to her and tell her she was born on the 6th. And she won't see her birth certificate until she's 18, so she'll never know. It'll be great. But I remember literally this time last year when she was born, you go through all those, you know, new parent classes, learn how to breathe. And like, no, not you, your wife. She needs to breathe. You just shut up and get out the way. But they honestly scared me. They said, hey, we don't want to have to send you back home for false contractions. So here's the signs that you're looking for. All the women know this, all the husbands you probably forgot by now, but they'll give you, hey, when the contractions are this far apart and they last this long, that's when you come. If they're not this far apart and they don't last that long, don't come. We'll send you home. So I literally was like, number one job as new dad, my mission, my goal is not to get sent home. So PZ, she's like, look, this hurts. We got to go. I was like, how far along are you, babe? And she's like, I'm this far along. I was like, nope, you're 2 seconds off. We have to wait till we are at the right time. I am not being sent home. My wife nearly killed me, but we didn't get sent home, so it was great. It was a sign of how much longer we had. Man, I don't want to ask God for a sign because he said evil and adulterous people ask for a sign. But man, it would be really good if I had a sign from God. First thing I want you to write down is this. Everyone needs a sign. Everyone needs a sign. You ever been driving somewhere you've never been before and you couldn't find a sign? I'd preach about MapQuest, but y'all are too young for that. Y'all don't remember typing directions in on your computer and printing them out. You think texting and driving is dangerous? Try trying to read MapQuest and driving. That's what's dangerous. And then you miss your exit and you didn't put any alternate routes on MapQuest, so now you are officially lost and you're just like, what in the world? few years ago, my wife was like, man, babe, I really want to have a baby. I said, great, let's get a puppy, because that'll help me delay this a little bit longer. I didn't want to tell her I was getting a puppy, so it was a surprise. So I went up in Pennsylvania, an Amish country, and got her a puppy from one of those Amish breeders. And what I did not know, because I don't spend a lot of time in Amish country, is at some point, they stopped putting up signs. Why? Because everybody out there knows. You turn at the red barn, then you go about 2 feet, and then you turn at the brown barn, and it's right next to the water pump. If you're from around there. So I'm up there trying to find this farm, trying to find this dumb puppy, which we've sold already. But I can't find a sign to say, no, don't worry, we had a baby. Baby puppy wasn't going to work out. Puppy had to go. It was a good choice, trust me. Anyway, so we're driving, can't find a sign. So I look at my phone, and I find out there's no reception. And I'm 5 minutes from this farm, driving an hour and a half looking for the dumb water pump right next to the red barn that I could not find. It's difficult to do life without signs. Us men, we'll try to pretend like we know where we're going, but I'll be honest with you, without a sign, it's going to be a long trip. The only thing is that Jesus said only evil and adulterous people ask for signs. So I don't want to ask Jesus for a sign because he's a little cranky. And if I ask him for a sign, he's going to call me out my name. So I don't want to deal with all that. So I'm just, and then I read it again. And I realized for the first time, Jesus wasn't condemning the Pharisees for asking for a sign. Watch this. He said, Jesus, we need a sign. Jesus said only an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. And it struck me, wait, we're all evil and adulterous before we come to Christ. Not me, Pastor, not me, not me. I'm good. I'm not evil. That's okay. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says this, as is written, there is none righteous. I don't know about you, but as soon as I think of read that verse, the first thing I think about is, well, I know some righteous people. Grandma's righteous. Grandma has to be righteous. She makes me apple pie. She slides me $20 bills. She gave me candy in church. Grandma's righteous. It's like Jesus heard your thoughts. He's like, no, not one. Not even grandma. There's nobody righteous. There is none who understand. There is none who seeks after God. So they come to Jesus. They ask Jesus for a sign. Jesus says only an evil and adulterous generation asks for a sign. Jesus wasn't saying, I'm not giving you a sign. Jesus was saying, by the fact that you're asking for a sign, what you're doing is you're identifying your spiritual state. You don't realize this, but what you're actually saying is, Jesus, I need you. Do you know that nobody comes to Christ without a sign? It is actually impossible to come and to put your faith in God without first receiving a sign. But this is what we do. Because we got our sign earlier and we put our faith in God and we tithe and we speak in tongues and we go to church, you know, 3 out of 4 Sundays, we look down on the people who don't do that. And we begin to say things like, how in the world could you say, not realizing is they may be where they are only because they have not received their sign from God yet. So instead of looking down at people who don't have the same faith as you, why not pray for them that God would send them a sign that they understand? The Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 1, give a warm welcome to any brother who wants to join you, even though their faith is weak. Don't criticize him for having different ideas from yours about what is right and wrong. Man, I wish the church read this verse before we started all these denominations. What are you? I'm Baptist, I'm Methodist, I'm Catholic, I'm Episcopal, I'm Pentecostal. Why you gotta say it like that? Calm down, and kick your legs. You're extra. A lot of times people ask, you know, what is Destiny Harvest? What's our denomination? We are officially non-denominational. Why? Because I don't want to set up a church that focuses on where we disagree. I want to set up a church that focuses on what we do agree. What do we do agree on? That there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved outside of the name of Jesus Christ. As long as that's the banner that you're on, listen, you're welcome. Whether you're Catholic, Methodist, Pentecostal, just don't scream out in tongues during service. That's weird. But other than that, you are welcome. Pastor, I'm not in any denomination. Great, you're still welcome. because I understand. I have the faith I have because God sent me a sign, and I'm telling you, he will send you a sign for you to put your faith in him, to prove to you that he's real. Now, before we get carried away and we say, okay, God, if you want me to follow you and join the dream team, then let me get all green lights on the way home, and I'll have that as a sign that this is what you want me to do. No. God says, I give two signs and two signs only. Second thing I want you to write down is this. Your detour. Those times you went off track with God. Those times God said right and you went left. Those times God said yellow and you said pink with purple polka dots. Your detour is a sign. Jesus said, there's only two signs that I'm ever going to give to you to prove to you that I'm real. I'll skip over the first sign. He said, the second sign is this, that I'm going to die, be buried, and come back to life 3 days later. How is that a sign? Anytime somebody predicts their own death, burial, and resurrection, and actually pulls it off. A lot of people can predict it. We're all still waiting for Tupac to come back, but it's not about predicting it. The fact is, can you actually pull it off? The fact that he predicted it and actually pulled it off, he said, this should be a sign to you that I'm real. But he said, here's the other sign that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the sign of Jonah. Jonah is going to be a sign to you that God is real. Okay, how is Jonah a sign? All we know about Jonah is Jonah heard from God and disobeyed. All we know that is after Jonah disobeyed, God sent a storm. He got thrown in the water, swallowed by a whale. Pardon my French, the whale barfed him up on the beach. And then the Bible says that God came a second time and said, now go do what I told you to do. Jonah chapter 3 verse 1 says this, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time. Anybody glad that God repeats himself? The first time he said it, I wasn't feeling it, but now I've realized that you're the way, the truth, and the life. Give it to me again, God. This time I promise I'll obey. Please, please, please say something again. He said a second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a 3 days' journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. I'm like super excited because I know where this is going. You have nowhere to do where this is going. He's like, Petra, I don't get it. What's going on? What's going on? We're going to get there. Ready? Go? Ready? Good. Why was Jonah's detour assigned to Nineveh? Let's just happenstance. Do you think that Nineveh heard about a prophet that ran from God? I'm telling you they did. Do you think that Nineveh heard there was this guy that got thrown in the water and swallowed by a whale and showed up 3 days later on the beach covered in tuna? If the scribes heard about it 800 years later, I'm telling you, Nineveh heard about it right then. And then all of a sudden, Jonah shows up, not dead, but at their doorsteps preaching. Here was their sign. Jonah, after all you've been through, after all of your disobedience, God still wants to use you? God still has a plan for you? What kind of God would love someone who deliberately disobeys, who deliberately runs away, who deliberately doesn't have a heart for people that God has? What kind of God would love somebody like a Jonah? What kind of God would use somebody who had a divorce or an abortion or filed for bankruptcy? Are you telling me God still loves you? God still has a plan for you. God's still using you. His favor and his grace is on you. You're telling me that in spite of those detours, God still wants you? If he wants you, then he must want me. So often, we want to hide the mistakes in our life because we're ashamed of them, not realizing that the mistakes in our life coupled with the acceptance of God is proof to the world that we serve a God who loves us past our mistakes, who loves us past our detours, who loves us past our hiccups. Listen to me. Your mistakes don't disprove God. They prove God. The Bible says this, anybody can love somebody who's lovable. God loving perfect people doesn't prove that God is love. It's when God loves a jacked up guy like me with the past that I have and decides to use me to impact other people's lives. That's proof that God is love. You may not realize this, but your life, your story, your comeback is a sign to others that it is possible to bounce back from what you bounce back from. And that there is no distance you can run from God without him still not just loving you, but having a purpose and a plan for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, for the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. What is that saying? It's saying that this city is waiting for a sign from God. I'm waiting not just to hear a preacher say it or to see it in the Bible. I'm waiting to see a life that proves to me that God still loves me, that God still has a plan for me, that God still has a purpose for me. There's something that I read that you missed it, and I know you missed it because I missed it until I read it again, and when I saw it, it blew my mind. So I'm going to show it to you. It's going to blow your mind too. You guys ready? So the verse said in Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, it says that Jonah started after he obeyed. He went to Nineveh, which was a 3 days journey. You guys remember that? Then it goes on to say, after 1 day, Jonah entered the city of Nineveh. Come on, let's have a little math here. How long was the journey? How long did it take Jonah? How long was the journey? How long did it take Jonah? How did Jonah get there in 1 day when it was a 3-day journey? Because when you obey God, he accelerates your trip. Jonah, I know you took a detour, but I still have a plan for your life. And in spite of your detour, I will fast track you to where I planned for you to be in spite of the mistakes that you've made. So yes, you took an 18-month detour, but don't worry. I'm going to fast forward your life 18 months so you're right where you're supposed to be. Yes, you went and you went off track here and you went off track there. But I'm telling you, nobody's going to be able to know that you were off track because with my favor on your life, I will fast forward you to where. I'm losing my mind right now. God wants to bless your life. I would preach, go back, if I had $1 million, you hear the shoes and all that kind of stuff. God wants you rich. Whatever. God wants you to have a healthy marriage. God wants you to love your kids and your kids to love you. God wants you to be at the top of your company. God wants you to have influence. But listen to me, that's not the end of his plan. God doesn't want you rich just to be rich. God doesn't want you to have a happy marriage just to be happy. God's not super concerned about your happiness as much as he's concerned about using your life as a sign to the world of this is what it looks like when you have God as a part of your life, that you can't look at my actions and match it up with my placement because, yes, I took detours. Yes, I should be a lot further behind saving for retirement in my relationship with my kids. But when I came back, God fast-forwarded me to where I am. And, oh, God, let us not be a people that when we point to our lives, we said, I did this and I did that and I worked hard here and I burned the, no. But for the grace of God, I am who I am. I am where I am. Boo! I am where I am because of his acceleration on my life. People should be able to look at the life of a believer and say, God's real. I didn't believe it when the dude in the white dress told me this, but now I believe it after seeing your life. God's real. I love Destiny Kids. Anybody love Destiny Kids? Phenomenal. Right now, they are having a service just like this, except it's a lot more cooler, a lot more fun, because it gets goldfish at the end. They pray over your children. They give them goldfish. They have their own small groups. You know the kids have small groups? Just like us adults have small groups, the kids have small groups. If you have a baby who cannot speak or walk, they are in there playing worship music over your child, praying over your child's destiny. Destiny Kids is amazing. Why do you bring that up? Because Destiny Kids is not the major factor that's going to determine whether your kid is going to follow Christ or not. The major factor that's going to determine whether your kid follows Christ or not is the sign that they see every day in their home. Do I see a dad who has the favor of God on his life? Yes, he's not perfect. Yes, he's taking detours. But when I look at him, I see Jesus. Do I see a marriage in my parents that I know they fight? They're a little crazy. I inherited a little bit of their crazy. But I'm telling you, when I look at them, I see the grace and the favor and the mercy of God. Listen to me. You coming back from your detour and getting back on track with what God has for you is not just about you. It's about your children seeing a sign that turns their heart to God. It's about your children's children seeing a sign that turns their heart from God. Listen to me. Your life is not your own. It's not just about you. If you stay on your detour, people will never see a sign. But the second we turn back to God, you ever thought this? If they could go to church, anybody can. If they could worship God, if they could, that's actually not a bad thing. It's a sign from God. If I could reach them, there's nobody. Listen to me. Can we not be selfish Christians? Can we not have a faith that's gimme, 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 move me, move me, move me, what I can get, what I can get, what I can get? But can we have a faith that says, God, move in me so that I can be a billboard to the nations? This is what the love of God looks like. This is what the grace of God looks like. Let me teach you how to be a sign. Highlight on God's grace and not on your detour. You ever heard people's testimony? You're like, ooh, you were jacked up. Man, yep, so I went and did this, and I smoked this, and I mixed this with that, and then this happened, woke up 3 days later, and it's like, whoa, okay, I get all that, don't need all that. One of my favorite pastors had a horrible, horrible past before he started off in ministry, and every time he tells about his horrible past, this is how he says, I was very immoral. What'd you do? I was very immoral. How many kids, how many states? I was very immoral. Don't highlight the detour, because that's giving the enemy the glory. The highlight is, in spite of the detour, he still loves me. He still blesses me. I was in church for 10 years and never tithed once. And yet God still blessed me. And as soon as I got back on track, I'm telling you, he provided for me far and beyond anything that I could ever ask, think, or imagine. I'm telling you, the grace of God is shown through your life. Last thing is this. Your obedience. I couldn't make up my mind in writing this point, so I just wrote 2 points. Your obedience or your compassion is a sign. One of the reasons why Jonah was a sign to Nineveh is because they knew Jonah's story. And they knew if God can use somebody like that, God can use anybody. But the other reason why they knew that Jonah was a sign was because not a lot of people knocked on the gates of Nineveh's doors. You see, Nineveh was known for being one of the most ferocious nations on the planet, torturing people in outrageously inhumane ways. So the only reason people knocked on the gates of Nineveh was either to invade that city or to sell them something. You kind of feel that way too. Anybody who's coming to your house, they're going to text you, call you before they come. Am I the only one that thinks that? So if you're ringing my doorbell, you're either here to rob me or you're here to sell something to me. Either way, I don't want to meet you. Anyway, am I the only one who doesn't open my door with a smile? It's not I love Lucy. Hey, I'm so glad you stopped over. No, why are you here? So Jonah shows up to Nineveh and he said, hey, I'm not here to invade you. I'm not here to destroy you or to sell anything to you. I'm just here to ask you a question. How's your soul? How's your relationship with God? I talked about the enemy, how one of his goals is to either separate you from God or distort you from God. Another one of his goals is that if you do become a Christian, let me keep your faith in you. The last thing I want is for you to share any of your hope, any of your peace, any of your destiny with anybody around you who has not yet met Christ. So let me intimidate you by telling you, hey, the workplace is not a place for faith. You don't talk about faith and you don't talk about politics. Forget politics. Talk about faith in your workplace. I don't want to ruffle my feathers with my parents, with my coworkers, with anybody like that. So my faith is my business, and I'm just going to keep it to myself. Where do you think that came from? And we have this mindset of, man, I don't know if I'm even Christian enough to share my faith with somebody else. When it's not your intellect that leads people to Christ, it's your story that shows a sign of his grace. I've been in church for 3 weeks. Well, there's someone who hasn't been here in 3 weeks. Share your story. What if they don't want to hear from me? What if they reject me? What if they go off and Christians are this and the Bible says this and blah, 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 blah. I can't deal with any of that. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that there are people that are longing for somebody who cares more than just what they can do for them or what I can get from you. How many people do you have in your life that cares about your soul? How many people do you have in your life that they don't just want something from you, even if it's just affection, but they actually care about your place and your relationship with God? Would it catch your attention if someone cared about you so much that they cared about your soul? Now, I'll tell you what the world does not want. They don't want people to come and tell them how horrible they are, how jacked up they are, how you did this and you did this and you did that. But listen to me, that's not the gospel anyway. Jesus said, I didn't come condemning, I came with. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, but how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? It's funny, you know, we watch TMZ or The Shade Room or, I know y'all don't do any of those things, just your pastor. It's just to pray for people, it's just to pray for people. And we say things like, how in the world could they? How in the world could they not? They don't believe in Jesus. And that's what people do when they don't believe in Jesus. He says, but how shall they ask him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they have never heard about him? Can I tell you something, church? We live in a nation that has never heard about God. No, Pastor, you're wrong. I know. I've got this. I did my research. 80% of Americans say that they're Christians. 40% of Americans go to church every Sunday. 80% of Christians have been exposed to religion. 40% of people go to a place to appease their conscience once a week. There are not many people who have a personal relationship, who know that God's not out to get them or punish them or use them, manipulate them, or steal their joy. But God is out to accelerate them into who he's called them to be. He said, how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how can anyone go and tell them unless someone sends them? Consider yourself sent. That is what the scriptures are talking about when they say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. Just look over at the feet of somebody next to you. If they have sandals on, you'll see. If they have shoes, just thank God. With God and bring glad tidings of good joys. In other words, how welcome are those who come preaching God's good news? We're so worried about people finding out our past that we forget that it's our story that's going to prove to people that God's real. I'm so focused on what I want God to do for me that I forget that my life is a sign of hope for those around me. I'll tell you a story. I was close. I heard the story of this couple, this husband and his wife, and they were going on a road trip. They were driving late at night. The wife had fallen asleep, and as a typical man, he's like, I could just push it just a little farther. Let's not stop here. Let's just get a little bit farther, and we'll get a hotel in the next town. Without even realizing it, as his wife is sleeping, he falls asleep as well at the wheel. And when he wakes up, his car has ran off the road, and it's flipping over and over and over and over again. The car comes to a stop, kind of comes to and crawls out, and crawls around to see where his wife is, and she's still in the passenger seat, unconscious, bleeding from her head. The amount of blood is like, oh my goodness, she's not going to make it if something doesn't happen. There's not a car on the road. He starts freaking out, and he pulls her out, and he's frantic, and he looks up, and he sees right across the street is a strip mall, and in that strip mall, there's one light that's still on. And lo and behold, must be the grace of God, that light right above the light is a sign that says, Doctor Whoever. He's like, man, what goodness of God that we would have an accident. My wife is in danger, but we're right across the street from a doctor. He picks his wife up. He runs across the street, and he starts pounding on the door. Nobody comes, and he pounds on the door harder. And finally, an older gentleman comes to the door and opens the door, and he said, please, you have to help me. We were in a car accident. My wife is bleeding, and if she doesn't get help, she's going to die, but you're a doctor. Help her. Older gentleman says, I'm so sorry, I am a doctor, but I don't practice medicine anymore. There's nothing I can do for you. The man says, you don't understand, my wife, she's going to die if you don't help her. You're a doctor, you have to help her. And he says, you don't understand, I've let my license go. Legally, I can't practice medicine anymore. There's nothing I can do for you. So the man goes from being frantic to being angry. Anybody you can relate? Okay, now this is not a please help me. This is I will kill you if you don't help me. Like, do you not understand the situation? And he looks at the doctor and he says, listen to me. You have a sign over your door that says that you can help. So either you bring hope and healing to my wife like your sign says, or you take that sign down. But do not have a sign up that promises that you can do something that you are no longer willing to do. The title Christian is a sign over our lives that we are a source of hope, a source of healing, a source of purpose. And I believe that there is a world that is so tired of people that are calling themselves Christians, but they no longer offer hope and healing. And I believe there's a world that's saying, either you do what your sign says that you do, you stop turning your nose up at me because I don't worship like you and praise like you, and you help me find hope and healing, or you take that sign down, but don't be a church that has a sign up, but you're not a place of hope and healing. Destiny Harvest, let us never be a place that has a sign up, but we don't do what we say we can do. We don't point to the God that we say. We don't bring the hope and the healing and the life. Listen to me. It's not just about us. It's not just about what God can do for us and how he can bless us and how he can heal us. He wants to do that, but so that we can be a sign to a dying world that there's hope, that there's healing, that there is no detour that God can't bring you back from. Let's be a sign. A little intense, I know, I'm sorry. Let's just not be selfish. Let's be who God's called us to be.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's message. If you want to learn more about our church, check us out at destinyharvest.tv. Meet our leadership team, find a way to connect with our church, and partner with us through giving. You can also connect with us on social media by visiting our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram pages. Tune in next week for another message from our pastor, Stephen Chandler.